Morning to you. It is a Wednesday morning, March 27th, 2024, and this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. My name is Bob Look, sitting in for Chad Holmes. It's a Chad Holmes show here on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, listening either at 98.9 FM or 1230 AM, the old standby, 1230 AM. Of course, you can listen online, too. It's you go right to bullfallsradio.com, and you can just click on there, and you can listen to us live. In fact, you even see us, too, which is a scary thought. In fact, if I were you, this early in the day, you may not want to see frightening things like that with your eyes. So I'm just warning you. Welcome to the program. Ian Welsh is our producer. Good morning there, Ian.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Pretty good. It was a little slippery on the roads this morning, but as long as you take your time,
yeah,
you should be okay. But hopefully the temperature will go back up and
we're at the end of March. If the temperature's not going to be going up here, we're in trouble.
Yeah, we might be
the
in
Earth
trouble.
Has slipped off its axis, and we're now plummeting into deep space, and it's the new movie that'll be coming out next year, I guess. I'm a little emotionally stretched out. Before I get into further things, we do have studio lines that you can call in if you want to say howdy or got something you want to talk about. Feel free to give us a ring at 715-382-9297. That's our Wausau exclusive number, 715-382-9297. So, you know, it's in your hands, Marathon County in the Wausau area, if you want to participate. No, but I was getting a little misty-eyed thinking, you know, Ian, this is going to be my last day. My last day of subbing for... Yeah. For Chad, you know, he'll be back from vacation, and I'll be done, and I won't be here spending my mornings here with you and the listeners.
Maybe we can have you back.
I get so misty. I hate goodbyes.
Yeah, I don't like them either.
I hate, you know, it's like there's no. Is my sarcasm slipping through, I guess? I want to thank the gang at Civic Media for allowing me to sit in for Chad. And of course, Chad, with the guy who works like about 22 and a half hours every day, covering not only, you know, this show, but, you know, high school sports like nobody else, and I do mean nobody else, can do right here in the Wausau area. And it's something that the community should, you know, support a little bit more. And I've said that, you know, for years. I've been in broadcasting since 1974. I've done, I don't know, I have lost count. Someone asked me how many high school sporting events that I have broadcast, you know, the play-by-play for. And, you know, I'm thinking, in 1974, I was working at this station in Port Washington, and the boss... The general manager, owner, he was going out to, you know, do high school football, and he goes, "Hey, do you sports?" And of course, I'm 19 years old. Sure, I can do sports. And so he says, "Well, join me on the Port Washington football game coming up this Friday." And Ooh. He says, "I'll do the play-by-play and that, and you can chime in whenever you want and all that kind of stuff." So I'm there, and this, you know, this bright-eyed 19-year-old, and here's the owner and the manager, and he sits down at the press box, lined up, you know, at the lineups, and he's doing the play-by-play, and and he'd kind of look at me to just say something about the play, like who made the tackle or who made a nice play. And so I'm just kind of, you know, and so it's the end of the first quarter, breaks for commercials, right? And he looks at me and he goes, "How'd you like to handle the play-by-play in, you know, the second quarter?" And I figured just the second quarter, right? I said, "Sure, I'll be ready to do that." And so he comes back from commercial, and he goes, "Well, it's time for the second quarter, and here with the play-by-play, here's Bob Look." "Oh, aww, thank you." I'm doing it about the register my voice was about that. Well, it was that, you know, that high, but it was up there. And I'm doing a play-by-play, and it was a little, you know, end run, you know, to the right side. And I made it sound like it was the greatest play ever in the history of football. You know, big 3 yard gain, second out at 7. And so then I looked to my left, you know, for my boss, you know, to like say something. And I look, he's gone. He got up. He left the press box. I don't know if he had to get a smoke or something outside. I don't know. He just left me. Not just for a little while. Left me for the game.
For the rest of the game? Oh, my gosh.
It was basically sink or swim, pal.
Yeah.
And so here I am, like, looking. My expert commentator or boss is gone. And now I got to sit here and try to cobble. So I just gathered up, you know, my memory of listening to, you know, people, you know, like Ray Scott, who did Packer games back in the 60s when I was a kid, and other announcers that I listened to as a kid, Earl Gillespie in the Milwaukee area, who did Braves games, Merle Harmon, and, you know, just all these people are flashing in my head, okay, do the game. So I did the game. And
that's pretty cool.
And there I was. That all started just like that. It just basically, you know, it's the cheap way of teaching a person how to swim. Oh, we got to get the door there, Ian.
Yeah, I'll get it. Yep.
We'll get it. But to continue that story where I'm just, you know, trying to get through this sports broadcast, and it's kind of like the cheap way of teaching a person how to swim. You take them out into the middle of a lake and into a boat and go, okay, now jump in. And there you are in the middle of a lake. And if you don't know how to swim, you're probably going to have to learn how to swim fairly quickly to kind of, you know, save yourself. But that's how I started in sports broadcasting, just thrown out to the wolves. And I don't think that happens anymore like that in this day and age.
That's a really cool opportunity, though.
Well, I guess the boss.
I know I can never do that unless I have like months and months of practice. Because trying to do a play-by-play for that long a period would be
well, of course,
a lot of talking.
Again, I didn't really have an opportunity to really do any prep, as they like to call it, like get to know the names and numbers ahead of time. Mm. My boss just basically said, "Show up to the press box," you know. You know, and just wing it, and
threw you in the deep end, as it were.
You know, and I tried like the devil to not sit there and say, "And here's number 24 with the ball." That doesn't really help matters when you're trying to do play by play, but that's how you start. But the amount of games, high school games I've done, I can't just fathom it. And when we did the high school football games back in Port Washington, back in those days, back in the 70s. We weren't just covering Port Washington High School. We covered also Grafton High School, Cedarburg High School, Homestead High School, all part of the North Shore area of Milwaukee.
Right.
And plus some of the other schools we do. And it would not be unusual for me to do a Friday afternoon game at Cedarburg High School. They would play their games. They didn't have lights at that time on Friday afternoons. Load up the equipment and run to Port Washington for a game to do that game Friday night. And Saturday afternoon is when Grafton High School would play their games because they didn't have lights either. So here I'm just driving around being Mr. And I look at Chad and I go, "Yeah, been there, done that." So glad that he's enjoying some vacation time and He'll be back with you tomorrow on the show. Coming up a little later on in the program, we've got a guest here this morning that'll be joining us, Jane Graham Jennings, the executive director of the Wausau Women's Community, and a good friend of mine. And we're going to be chatting about their efforts and that in our community. Also later on, Sean Wright normally visits with us here on the program about 9:20. Mm-hmm. He's unable to make it today, so we won't have his little insight of what's happening at the Grand Theater. Of course, he's the executive director for the Grand Theater. He won't be in here today, but he'll be probably back the next time around. Mm-hmm. And then in the final hour at about 9:30, it's a real treat for you sports fans out there. Mm-hmm. And that is, we're going to talk baseball because the Brewers start this regular season for real tomorrow. And we're not going to be talking about, you think the Brewers are going to win the division and all. No, we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how you get those players from wherever it is, high school, college, or just satellite baseball, how you get them from there to the major leagues.
Mm-hmm.
The people, the men, the women who are out there as baseball scouts. And these are people who, it's a tough job, folks. I'm not kidding. This isn't an easy thing to do. The amount of travel involved.
Very hard.
In fact, we'll be talking about that with his name is Carl Moshe, and he's been doing this now over 40 years.
It's a long time.
Over 40 years, he has signed some big time stars in his days, and he has seen just about everything in base. And he, in fact, I believe he said in his itinerary, he's going to be up in the Wausau area sometime during the summer during the woodchuck season to do a little checking out on the talent that's out there for the woodchucks or some other individual teams and players. So he's going to talk about that. So we got ourselves a full show here today.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to give us a call at 715-382-9297, you're more than welcome to. We're going to be visiting with our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. And, in fact, I'm probably going to buy a fresh bottle of her favorite Merlot for dinner for Easter Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she has nothing to do with the wine? Doggone it. I thought I'd get a freebie out of that. Well, anyway, we'll have Brittany coming your way in a little bit. You're listening to the Chad Holmes Full Show on Bow Falls Radio, WXCO. We'll be right back. Continuing on a Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, WXCO. My name's Bob Look, sitting in for Chad, taking a little vacation time, but he'll be back here tomorrow morning, back to the station here and handling his duties. And it's time now for us to get an update on weather for our area. And we bring in meteorologist Brittany Merlot. And in fact, I was just talking, before you came on, Brittany, that, I was going to celebrate, the Easter Sunday this coming, Sunday, obviously, and the weekend. Is going to go out and buy one of your products.
Ooh, a good old bottle of Merlot. That's perfect.
Right. Oh, I do love Merlot. And you know what? It's really good with, baked ham and, the typical, I'm not an expert at it. I'm just a consumer that goes, that's good or no, that's bad. That's the way I describe it. I'm not an aficionado. How's that for a word?
That's a good word.
Thank you.
And you said it right the first time. I would have stuttered a little bit.
Well, I practiced all morning. Okay, I got to admit it. But anyway, I've just been here for 3 days, Brittany, and it's like if you could name every weather event that you could possibly go through in a short period of time, I think we've done it. A foot of snow on Monday, and yesterday temperatures in the 50s and rain. My neighbor was starting to build an ark. I got a little worried, but I got over it. and then coming in here today, and here we go with back to winter again. Please tell me it's not going to continue this way.
Oh, it has just been a roller coaster, I feel like, for the past 3 months in a sense. But yeah, winter is here and she is cold out there this morning. Temperatures were ranging from the teens to the 20s across the state, but we were feeling like the single digits. Yeah. Now we're finally feeling like the teens, if that's, you know, any better. But
well, at least the sun is trying to shine, so.
Yes. I hope you grabbed those sunglasses before you headed out this morning because you need it now. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the afternoon, though, we're going to see it start to go away, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Again, you described it absolutely perfect. It's been a roller coaster ride. This, yep. I can't remember winter that has been so unwinterish.
And I'm not sure Wausau decided to stand in this long line for this ride.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, they didn't have the little line there. You can only get on this if you're taller than this line, you know? And I'd usually walk up there on my knees, you know, so.
Yeah. One of my weirdest inventions, I'm weird. I thought in my head, I was like, okay, instead of waiting in line for all these roller coasters, you know, you can wait hours sometimes.
Well.
Especially right now down into like Disney spring break, I'm sure it's packed.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Why don't they invent little seats like conveyor seats so you can just sit down the whole line and you never lose your place?
You know what? Right? I'm at that age too, Brittany, where chairs are really important.
I agree.
You know,
old
knees in the back go, I'd like to sit down sometime, you know. And even if you're visiting the Department of Transportation going to get a license, and well, they do have chairs there, but you got to fill out this stuff and it's a little hard to do it when you're sitting, so you got to stand there and lean on the desk and write out all the stuff. But yeah, uh-huh. It should be nice to have seats for, you know, times when you're having to sit in long lines. Speaking of, a good place for that would be next Tuesday for the election day.
Absolutely. Oh,
because yes. Boy, you get in line and you stand for a long bit of time. That's not easy for a geezer like me. That's all I'm saying.
No, it's not. And
that's why I early
spots out there too this morning. Oh my gosh!
Yes.
You encountered any?
Yes, I did. In fact, right outside. When I got on my car, there was there's a little snow that was just kind of sitting there. Mm-hmm. As soon as I put my foot out, I didn't step out. I put my foot out and touched it, and it was like glare ice underneath that little film of snow.
Oh gosh!
And it would have been if I would have been, you know, trying in a hurry, I would have just taken that one step and going wheep. Mm. And so we're just trying to be getting words out there to the folks. Just be a little extra cautious today, okay?
I had an interesting.
Absolutely.
I had an interesting experience also. So I stepped out of my car. I was walking up.
Yeah.
And like two steps out, I heard like this huge crack. Under my feet, and I'm like, was that me? And I take a few steps back, and then I realize I'm stepping on ice, and I take a few steps more, and my foot actually sinks into the water.
Yes. Some standing water, and
it
just firmed
that. I didn't soak my foot. It was just the top of it, but yeah, it's like, you really got to be careful with your steps.
So you've got wet socks all day long.
Actually, not the sock, it's just a shoe. But
can we go home early? That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
Just to be safe.
I got the Merlot. We could have a great time, okay?
Exactly.
And of course, we got the Merlot on the radio right now, too. So I tied that all together. You got the forecast for us?
Yes, I do. So obviously below freezing temperatures. Yeah. We're going to stay below freezing all day today. So be careful of those icy spots. Of course, we are looking at the Wisconsin River starting to rise. I do want to point that out. It is near a flood stage. So some low-lying areas around there are going to see some water eventually throughout the day today. So keep that in mind. Do what you got to do for prepping for floods. Move the stuff out of the basement. Mm. Put it on shelves, pallets, anything like that. But because of that rapid melt, even though we're below freezing today, it doesn't matter. It's still in the ground. It is still rising those rivers.
Yeah.
And of course, a few more shots of snow this afternoon. I'm just going to throw that out of left field for you guys. It's beautiful now, but increasing clouds and a few flurries will be flying around. We shouldn't look at any accumulations from this, but that is our day today. Go figure.
We're at the end of March. You know it's got to get warmer. You know spring is really going to be showing up. with my fingers crossed. By
she's
April.
Hiding.
Please,
she's there.
Please. Well, Brittany, have yourself great. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, and we hope that you have a great Easter weekend also, and have yourself a good day.
You as well. It was a pleasure getting to chat with you. Have a good one.
Take care. All right. Yeah, and she's not kidding about it being cold out there. 19, you throw in a little wind, and you're talking temperature, the wind chill factor about it, you know, in the single digits. So
yeah.
Dress accordingly. I got the winter coat with me. I got the scarf. I got the nice warm hat. Mm. You know, I was ready. I was ready. So it is the Bull Falls Radio WXCO and the Chad Holmes Show for this Wednesday. I got to keep reminding myself it's Wednesday, knowing that, you know, this is my last, you know, day, you know, subbing. I'm having a hard time thinking of it being like the end of a week.
Yeah.
But it is technically for me as far as having a responsibility to get up and show up someplace. You know, when you're retired, you kind of just go, you look at the clock and you go, oh, it's that time? Oh, okay, fine. And roll over and just continue sleeping. But we're not going to do any sleeping because in the next half hour, we're going to be visiting with a good friend, Jane Graham Jennings, who's with the Wausau Women's Community. Great group, great organization that is a valuable asset to this community in this area. And we'll be talking about all their efforts and all the things that, you know, that they got to do to kind of keep the fires burning and keep the windows, or I should say the lights on in the windows. And so we'll be chatting with her on that. And don't forget, we'll be coming up talking a little baseball with an actual baseball scout next hour at about 9:30. So grab another cup of coffee and join us here on the Chad Holmes Show. My name is Bob Look. We'll be right back shortly. We're back here on the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio WXCO, and I'm Bob Look. We're keeping the fires burning here in the old studio as Chad enjoys his final day of vacation for now, and he'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. And I had some other guests in that penciled in for this time period for the show. And unfortunately, they had to cancel out. And so the first thing in my mind, I'm saying, who can I call that I would like to share time on the air and also share, you know, the information of the function and what she does to help make this a better community? And the first person I thought of was Jane Graham Jennings, who's with the Wausau Women's Community. First of all, thanks for coming in and subbing for myself.
Absolutely. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, you know, you guys and myself, my wife, we've been involved in various things. And for those people out there in the listening audience who has no idea what the Wausau Women's Community is and what it is there to help with, give us a little brief sketch on that.
Sure. Well, actually, today happens to be my anniversary of 28 years
of
working at the women's community. Yeah.
I knew it was a few. I'm not saying that 28 is a lot. I want a balance here. But no, that's amazing. I didn't realize that much.
Yeah, time really flies. So, and then this year will actually be my 25th year as director. So I've been around for a minute. And so the organization, when it started in the 70s, was really a drop-in center. And at the time, it was women getting back into the workforce. Okay. So that's how the organization started. And as women got together, they realized that there was a common thread in their lives, and that was of violence. Mm. So too many women were experiencing violence from intimate partners, from their spouses, and then also sexual assault. So those are things when the agency started. And since that time, we've grown to really understand the complexities of violence and abuse and all that it entails. So we still provide an emergency shelter for people who are fleeing abuse and aren't safe where they are. But that's the smallest program that we provide. In addition to that, we provide an array of other support services for victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, stalking, and human trafficking. Mm. So we have specialized programs that our advocates are trained and are experts in understanding trauma and how various forms of trauma impact people and then getting them the support that they need. And that includes culturally specific programs as well. So we have our Southeast Asian Advocate Program. We have Hmong advocates so that we can work within the Hmong community and address those needs. We have our Latinx program, which is Spanish-speaking, to work with our Spanish-speaking community. We have an Abuse in Later Life program. So those are for specifically working with victims that are 60 and older, because their needs are a little bit different than younger people who are experiencing abuse. We have some limited assistance to help people get into housing. I mean, one of the biggest barriers that keeps people stuck in unhealthy situations is housing.
Yeah, they basically say, I got to get out of this place, but to where?
Where am I going to go? Exactly. Yeah, so we can have some limited assistance that we can help get people into safe housing and stay there for a time. We're currently part of a pilot project that gives us the ability to provide rental assistance for extended period of time so that people can stay in a safe place and get their feet under them so that they can thrive.
Getting somebody a place to be at, that's the start. It's right. Just the start, the follow-up, maintaining that or to find a direction where to go beyond this point is another thing. It's not one of these things that, okay, we found a place, next. No, you can't do that.
Right. I mean, and that's part of the whole, you know, in our training and understanding and the way our industry, which is odd that we talk about keeping people safe as an industry, but it really is. In the training and understanding that we get, getting someone into a safe place is really, like you said, just the beginning. Mm-hmm. Because the recovery of trying to figure out and make sense of loving someone who is intent on harming you really messes with people's minds.
Yeah, you in your subconscious, you cannot admit to yourself, hey, I've shown my love and felt my love for this individual, and all of a sudden to turn it off and go a different direction.
Right.
That's not easy to flip a 180 turn on that.
I mean, in all of our relationships, if you think about any relationship that you've been in, when you argue and you get in a fight and you say something mean or nasty or your partner says something mean, you feel bad about that and you apologize, but we don't just leave, right? I mean, most people don't just get out of something when they have a fight. The difference is, in abusive relationships, the apologies aren't real because someone apologizes, but then they hurt again.
They always they hold it over them.
Yeah. Yep.
It's like, well, where would you be without me type of a, you know, hook. It's just, and again, this mostly affects women, but this also can be switched around too, right?
It can, yeah. And that's the other thing about the women's community. It started in the 70s, it was a different time.
Right.
So we serve anyone who has been a victim of abuse. Adults, male, female, trans, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And children as well. We work with children also, children who have been sexually abused and their non-offending family. To help them all kind of recover from that. So we provide support to anyone. So if there's a man or a boy who has been harmed, we work with them also.
Yeah. Again, we're talking to Jane Graham Jennings from the Wausau Women's Community. We got a quick little question that's kind of floating in my mind about you're talking about men and women, you know. That's the one thing about 4 years ago when the COVID pandemic struck. That forced a lot of situations to really have no outlets to burn out or to settle down a little bit.
Right.
Because everyone was pretty much enclosed. And I'm sure it was a really tough part of your guys' existence during that time. I would imagine it was far, far more obstructions to helping people for you guys.
When the pandemic first hit and the lockdown, it was eerily quiet.
Mm.
You know, our phone lines weren't ringing and there was no one reaching out. And we were waiting. What we anticipated in my conversations with our local law enforcement, we thought that after the lockdown and people were returning, we thought we would see a big spike. Like, yeah. It was really quiet and then we thought we'd see a big spike and we didn't see that. But what we did see when people did finally call, the violence was much more harsh. The level of violence escalated. The number of calls didn't spike, but when they did call, the violence was really scary.
The victims were probably under the assumption that I have to just kind of shut up and
and
live with this because where am I going to go?
Yes. There was no safety valve. So for a lot of people working, going to work is a place that gives some safety. So they could get out. They would have other people in their lives that could help them see things differently. Part of what's so hard about being in a relationship where the person you love harms you is you're really getting brainwashed. And, you know, we kind of talk about the recovery from this. They break down the way you think about yourself and the way you think about the world. So when someone's stuck in a relationship in a home, they're both working from home now.
Yeah.
There's no other individual giving them a different side of a story. You're saying, you know, that's not right. You don't shouldn't
treat
it.
Any activity with your peers, with your friends. You may be able to talk to somebody on the phone, but that's it. You're missing
right.
that face-to-face, like, you know, somebody reaching out and says, I got to get out of here.
Exactly.
Because they look that there's no escape.
And then when working from home, so even after things started to return, so many people stayed working from home. So again, for people who work was their outlet, their safety valve, work might be the place that they could reach out and call to the women's community because their partner's not going to be overhearing the conversation.
It's not their cell phone or it's not
right. They're not tracking it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it just made it much more difficult for people living and trying to survive in those relationships to reach out. And when they finally did, again, the violence was much higher. We saw a significant increase in strangulations, which has been very concerning.
Yeah, so we talk about violence or violations and things of that nature. Some of them don't necessarily have to be very violent. They could be more mental.
Right.
And more, you know, messing up with an individual's mind that, hey, you're no good. You'll never amount to anything. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. That kind of a throwback. And that person hearing it from that individual that they fell in love with, wanted to live a life together, it's hard for them to digest that they're getting that negative feedback. But then when they keep getting it day in and day out, they start like, well, maybe they're right.
Yes. They start, it really breaks them down. I mean, that's right. What's happening. The manipulation, the power and control. And that's it. I'm really glad that you point that out because so many people think that abuse means the physical hitting or altercations, and that's not all that there is. The psychological trauma, the emotional abuse, the name calling, the degradation, the breaking down of one's soul is really harmful to people. And when we're working with survivors, they often say, you know, I wish just once I would have been hit because then I could tell someone what was happening. But when there's nothing physical to see, people don't believe me.
Right. Or he's just, you know, just having a bad day or what have you. They just dismiss it. There's no physical evidence.
Right.
There's no bruising. There's no scratches.
They're crazy. Look at they fly off the handle.
They're just having one of their days.
An example of that, you know, when people talk about gaslighting, so that's kind of become a catchphrase that people have heard about. But what is it really? So, you know, an example is we worked with someone who came to us and had moved in with her boyfriend, and he was getting really worried about her and would tell her that she was overworked and overtired and she should really just quit her job and he would take care of her and she wouldn't have to worry about it. And she started losing her keys. So she wouldn't put her keys in this dish on an entryway every day, and she couldn't find her keys. And then her boyfriend would find them in very odd places, like he found them in the freezer. And then she was like, oh my gosh. And he was like, do you remember putting them there? Why, you know, what is that about? Or next time she loses her keys, he finds them in the medicine cabinet. And so he just keeps saying, I'm really worried about you. You're really getting, something's wrong with you that you don't know where you're putting your keys. So this happened for quite some time. When she came in, she started talking to us. She left that relationship and she realized he was taking her keys and hiding them and then, quote, finding them for her.
Basically trying to build that
in
her brain that something's wrong with her.
Yes. So that's when we say gaslighting. Manipulate her into thinking that she's losing her mind. And then convince her that she is by doing those things. So, she, you know, she was trying to figure out what else had he been changing and altering and lying to me about to make me think that I was so overstressed at work that I couldn't keep it together. So that's an example of like the intentional harm that someone is doing. That's really hard. If you don't have outside help to see it differently, you really start to question if you are, in fact, losing your mind.
Well, we're going to take a little break here in a little bit here, and we'll get back to our discussion after the break. In fact, what I want to talk more about is how folks out there could maybe help you guys out, because it's not something you can just perform without any kind of help and financial backing. We'll get to that when we continue and come back with Jane Graham Jennings from the Wausau Women's Community here on the Bull Falls Radio WXCO Chad Holmes Show. We'll be back right away. Back we are here on the Chad Holmes Show. My name's Bob Look, and you're listening to, of course, Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, and the Civic Media. And we're talking with Jane Graham Jennings from the Wausau Women's Community. We were talking so much about the manipulation by abusers. You know, when people, you know, hear being abused, the first thing they think is physical.
Right.
But there is, I think, more damage can be done mentally by manipulating people, as you've talked about before, or just constantly throwing negative vibes towards their partner. That is a tough thing to go through. I think we talked about this, you know, with my wife, you know, before we were married, and what she went through, where she raised two kids basically on her own in a trailer park, on food stamps, working a part-time job, just trying to get from point A to point B. But what she had in that first relationship was a situation of being mentally, you know, abused. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. And that kind of, we're just kind of pounded in to her from that situation. So then when her and I started dating, you know, and we, you know, and myself, I, if you talk to any of my close friends, they came to our wedding because they didn't believe this was happening. There was no way that I was ever going to get married. But when that happened, and that was the one thing that was so important to her, and she always mentioned to me, he said, we may have some differences, we may have an argument or whatever, but don't ever question my ability or never question my, you know, don't ever call me, aren't you not smart enough? Well, as luck would have it, we had an argument, not a bad argument, but it was one of those things. I wish I could have pulled it back.
Yeah.
But I said the wrong things. Aren't you smart enough to figure that out? And to this day, if there's, the, it says, do you have any regrets in your life? I says, that's it. That's the one regret, because I knew, I could see it in her eyes, and I just went, that was the dumbest thing I have ever done. The dumbest thing I have ever done. And it was a quiet few days after that, and I had to win back that trust.
But you didn't do it again.
Never.
Right.
And I never wanted to. It was just one of those things where I would have said that to like my best buddy. I'm just smart enough to realize, you know, right. You know, and I meant it not that mean, more of just a
flippant thing.
Yeah, flippant little comment, you know, that wasn't serious, but not to her.
When she has that history, right? So that's the other thing. Relationship after, as in someone's in recovery from being harmed and being psychologically broken down, those things take a long time to recover from. And the difference in your relationship versus people who are intent on harm is when you were like, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. You said, I'm sorry, and you never did it again. So people who intend to use manipulation and control, they say, I'm sorry.
But there's no sorry behind it.
But there's no sorry. They do it again and they harm again. So that's the difference.
See, even me talking about this, I'm having a hard time keeping myself together.
Yeah.
Because it's something that's so negative in my life that I just went, oh, you dumb. And I could say other words, but we're on the radio. Anyway, let's talk about your group and people out there. If you're saying to yourself, well, gosh, you know, it sounds like a, you know, great organization, or maybe they might be in a relationship or something that is a negative. How can you help?
Well, the first thing always I just want people to think about is, when you're in a relationship, does that person make you feel better about who you are? And if that's not the case, just start thinking about, what do they do for you? Because what being in a healthy relationship and what love means is, you feel like a better person because that person is in your life. So they celebrate you and your successes. They're not intimidated by you and your successes. So if you're questioning that, we have a 24-hour support line. Mm. People can call us 24 hours a day. You don't have to give your name. You can call anonymously and just say, you know,
I need to talk to somebody.
Yeah, I'm wondering, is this normal? Is this okay?
If what I'm seeing, does this compute? Am I not reading this right?
Right. And to know, you don't have to be hit to feel less than in a relationship. The abuse can be verbal and psychological. And we address all of that also. 24 hours a day. All of the services that we provide are free. We never charge for anything. If someone lives in our shelter, they don't have to pay to live there. We provide food and clothing and all the things that they need. When they come in for help with restraining orders, or just to talk about their situation, or to come in and they're not sure if they want to report a situation to the police, you don't have to. We can sit with you as you make that decision. You don't have to report to the police to get services from us. We're not going to encourage you to or dissuade you. We are going to listen to what you need and figure out what you think is going to be best for your situation. So we have a lot of people who come in and they're not sure. And then they say, you know, I think maybe I do want to report this. Okay. We contact the police and they come over to our agency to take the reports, because we've created a relationship. A person feels safe there.
Again, they think that they're in it by themselves.
Yes.
And they really want help. They just don't know how to get it.
Right. And that's particularly, you know, we were talking about men, particularly men, we don't give them permission to ask for help. So there's this really great level of shame for men who are being abused. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure people, men, know we can help you also. It's okay to ask for help. So again, we can do that 24 hours a day. There is an actual person who answers our phone line for support, and we never charge for anything that we do. So we rely on, I write a lot of grants. Yeah. So we have grant funding, but a lot of that's governmental grants, and depending on what's happening in our government, those things ebb and flow.
Yeah, whether they support it or not. It'd be as simple as that.
Right. So, you know, we could quickly lose our funding. We also, of course, rely on community support. So the women's community, we we are nothing without community. Mm-hmm. So that is...
That's an important part of the name.
Yes, absolutely.
It is a community effort.
Yes. The agency belongs to the community.
And the number that is available?
They can call 715-842-7323. That's
7323.
Our 24-hour line. Oops. Or they can go to our website and find all of our information there. It has all of the resources available. They can, you know, you can look through and peruse and see what we might be able to provide and help you with.
You do great work. That's all I'm going to say by closing out this the segment in our chat. Big thank you for coming on in and talking the this is a group that my wife and myself had so much for jewelry sales,
yes,
and everything else,
yes,
that helped raise some money for you guys. And I just want to thank you for the work that you do and say hi.